Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Welcome back around the fire, everyone. Tonight, we got another devastating Dogman encounter story. Don't you love it? Shout out to my channel members and my patrons. Make sure you subscribe and click that like button before you leave. Now, let's get spooky. It's a Saturday night. The moon is full and the breeze is crisp. We join a couple of teenage musicians on their way to a gig at a friend's party across town. Stan, a 17-year-old with long blonde hair and a wise attitude to match his young machismo image. Tina, a 16-year-old diva who plans to be a famous pop star someday once she leaves this stuffy little town. And Daniel, a typical 18-year-old burnout, who could play the drums rather well for his nonchalant attitude. We join the group as they are running behind for their first gig in 4 months. We are already an hour late. I don't want to waste any more time, complains Stan. Fine, let's cut through the graveyard, my dudes, responded Daniel. No, that's okay. I rather we didn't, responded Tina in a nervous voice. Well, if you want to make it to this party on time for our gig, we don't really have a choice, said Stan firmly. I don't know, Stan. I would rather just walk around than cut through there, replied Tina. You could hear her discomfort in her shaky voice. It's 3 miles around, Tina, and like, time stands for no man, Daniel said as he sparked up a doobie. I'm telling you, we could shave a mile and a half off our walk if we cut through the Bemosi Hills Cemetery, chimed Stan with a booming confidence. With a fearful look in her eyes, Tina stands at the entrance at the cemetery gate and ponders if the shortcut was really worth it. Stan pressured her. Remember, we're only late because you took so long on your makeup. Daniel pushed the rusty gates open as far as they would spread while still chained shut. Stan wiggled so his guitar case would fit with him. Daniel continued to hold the gate and waves for Tina to enter next with a, "My lady." Tina begrudgingly took a deep breath, following an overdramatic sign. Fine, you both win, but let's pick up the pace. Graveyards freak me out. The three teens push onward into the graveyard, and eerie mist lined the ground, creeping along ever so slowly. The moon was high in the autumn night. The crickets sang and the wind whistled. What was that? Tina screamed out. In the distance, a wolf's howl could be heard. Silence. Nothing but silence, proclaimed Daniel. What was that? Stan asked angrily. I thought I heard something, Tina stammered to say. Daniel said in a joking manner. Maybe it's a zombie.
Brains. I want brains,
he groaned in a mocking manner. That's not funny, Daniel, Tina sneered. I thought I heard something in the distance. Like what? Scoffed Stan. It sounded like an animal, maybe a coyote or a wolf. Oh, crap, Daniel said softly. What? Stan asked in a grumpy manner. We might want to pick up the pace, Daniel said a bit nervously.
Not such a wise ass now, are we? Tina asked a bit smugly.
Another howl could be heard, a bit closer than the first. It echoed throughout the area, bouncing off the gravestones, silencing the crickets.
Okay, that one I heard, Stan proclaimed a bit uneasily.
My dad told me that the graveyard was built on the edge of the Whispering Woods.
Whispering Woods? Tina asked, confused.
Tina, you moved here about 3 years ago, right? Asked Stan.
Yeah, Tina responded as she picked up the pace in her step.
Well, you didn't grow up here, but essentially, there used to be an old legend about these woods in particular, Stan muttered as he lit up a cigarette. One that our family and friends would tell us when we were just little kids. If you're not in by dark, you may not be coming in at all, Daniel added in as he walked backwards, shifting his eyes back and forth as if he was looking for something. Our parents would tell us how the kids who didn't make it home before the streetlights were on would disappear, Stan said as he took another drag of a lit cigarette. The biggest number of disappearances all happened near the very same woods we were walking near, Daniel said in a dark manner. It was revealed through the playground rumors that the disappearances were caused by the Wolfman, said Stan grimly as he flicked the half-smoked stogie. The Wolfman of Wailing Woods lived alone in a tangled growth. He hunted in the light of the full moon, Daniel proclaimed. There were a large string of disappearances that took place between 1993 and 1995. Twice a month, one or two people would vanish. The town went full lockdown, Stan followed up with. The talks of a serial killer began to circulate. Things got really strange, when one day they finally found a body.
Well, part of a body, Daniel said, as he raised his coat over his head, simulating a headless corpse.
Tina stayed quiet, listening intensely. They found a body in late 1995 here in the cemetery right at the edge of the woods, Stan said as he looked towards the brush that was the mile-long backdrop to the cemetery. A body is a bit of an overstatement. I would say that they found a partial skeleton with strange markings that resembled teeth marks, Daniel chimed in. The body was buried in a shallow grave that was haphazardly dug without any tools, Stan added.
Tina asked, "You mean like whoever did it used their bare hands?"
"Or claws," shrugged Daniel. The teens were over halfway through Bemosi Hills Cemetery when a fierce howl erupted from the woods across from where they were from. Chills ran down all their spines. "I'm starting to think that being late wouldn't have been such a bad thing," Stan muttered under his breath. As the group climbed the last hill of the cemetery, something broke the eerie, uncomfortable silence the teens were sharing.
"Help me! Please, help me!"
A cry for help could be heard in the distance. "Did you hear that?" Tina shouted in a frantic, shaky voice. The boys stood and looked at each other.
Nope, said Stan.
Daniel slapped his arm and said, "Come on, dude, we all heard that shriek." Daniel changed directions and began walking with purpose towards the Wailing Woods. Stan attempted to stop Daniel as he pleaded with him to use reason.
"Daniel, why do you think it's called Wailing Woods?"
"Because that's where the Wolfman takes his victims. Those are the screams of a dead woman. You know he's still out there."
Tina followed reluctantly as Daniel led the group closer to the woods. Stan continued his desperate attempt to stop them.
"Daniel, you know it as well as I do. People still go missing here. Or have you already forgotten about your brother?" Daniel stopped and beamed at Stan. There was a tension that was so potent it overweighed everyone's fear. Daniel slugged Stan and knocked him flat on his ass, and took off running into the Wailing Woods.
"What the hell was that?" Tina asked as she offered Stan a hand helping him up.
"So maybe the legends are true about this place," Stan said, looking at the ground.
"No one told me Daniel had a brother," Tina said, confused and angry.
"Had is the correct term. Daniel had an older brother named Alex. He was 4 years older than the rest of us. One summer, we were all camping in the backyard. A loud roar barreled from out of the opening of the woods, followed by a high-pitched scream. Come on, follow me, and I'll fill you in, Stan said, as he grabbed Tina by the hand. That night, we were all camping, and I thought I saw something or someone when I got up to pee in the middle of the night. I woke up Alex, since he was the oldest of the group, and asked him to check outside because I was scared. I should have gone and gotten their dad, Stan showed a little pain and regret, as the two ran deeper into the wailing woods. Alex then left the tent, and a few moments later, there was a blood-curdling scream. The sounds of a one-sided struggle could be as something attacking and took Alex with it. I was too scared to move. The screams of pain and terror were enough to wake the neighbors, as well as Alex and Daniel's parents. Once the police were called in, it didn't take them long to make it a missing persons case and drop it entirely. Alex's family combed the land nearby, but never really found anything other than a few drops of blood leading into the woods. Daniel blamed me for what happened, even though we were just kids. It's why he's always so stoned. He uses it to mask his pain. A loud shout could be heard up ahead.
No, stop!
That's Daniel, Tina cried out. Stan and Tina finally reached a small clearing where the moonlight shone through, revealing a tall green hairy monster. It was a wolf or some kind of human-like dog. It had a fierce gaze with rich amber eyes.
The legends, they're true, Stan said quietly in a defeated voice.
The wolfman stood on its hind legs and stared Daniel down. He was in front of a girl who was laying on the ground, possibly unconscious, possibly worse.
Daniel!
Tina shouted to get out of there. Big mistake, as Daniel looked away for only a second and broke eye contact with the beast. The wolfman let out a powerful roar. Daniel attempted to get into its path, but it knocked him out of the way. The creature was down on all fours, dashing towards Tina and Stan. Without a moment's hesitation, Stan shoved Tina out of the way, and the wolfman tackled him to the ground. Daniel rushed to leap on the back of the creature. Stan laid pinned on the ground, silently awaiting for it to all end.
Stop it, Alex!
Daniel shouted angrily as he clung on the wolfman's neck. The wolfman paused for a moment, looking confused.
Alex?
Tina shouted, confused and shocked. I thought he was dead.
No, not dead. Just not himself anymore, Daniel shouted in frustration as he wrangled his brother.
Stan looked up and began to speak loudly to the monster.
Alex, I'm sorry. I don't know if you could recognize me, but it's me, Stanley. We used to be friends.
The wolfman stared down at Stan. Seconds felt like hours.
Alex, let him go. You're better than this.
Daniel growled in a stern voice. Just as the wolfman finally lets Stan out from under him, the girl who was thought to be dead sits up and screams when she sees Alex.
Alex went crashing towards the unnamed girl and toppled over her.
No!
Screamed Daniel from the top of his lungs.
I don't understand what's happening,
Tina blurted out.
Alex was bitten and scratched by a werewolf. He's stuck in this animal-like appearance now.
Like a werewolf from the movies?
Stan shouted as he hustled to help Daniel attempt to pry his brother off of the unnamed stranger.
No. Werewolves are Hollywood's mumbo-jumbo. This is the real, unbeatable thing.
The boys were too late. A loud, painful, snagging sound could be heard from under Alex. The unnamed woman fell silent and limp.
Dang it!
Daniel cried out. Look, the disappearances were the previous pack that took here between 1993 and 1995. Once discovered, the town hunted and killed them all, or so they thought. One lone survivor escaped the mob's fury, the leader of the pack, the one who transferred this curse on to Alex, Daniel explained solemnly.
So it wasn't my fault,
Stan sighed with relief.
No,
Daniel said entirely. You were chosen. The alpha from the pack that was exterminated had blood relations to you, Stan.
Tina stayed quiet as her close friends exchanged dark secrets.
How? How would you know that?
Stan stammered nervously.
My father.
He found Alex 4 days after his disappearance, chained up to a large tree in the center of the Wailing Woods. An elderly man sat across a fire from him. The man scratched Alex and kept him contained until his transformation from boy to beast was complete. When our father found him, he still had those amber eyes. Alex was nearly transformed into what you see before you now. We extracted all the info we could from that geezer before Dad placed him out of his misery. Now, what to do with Alex? Dad didn't have the heart to put him down, so we got the town's sheriff to agree that the Wailing Woods is off limits and Alex would be safe on the condition that we kept him fed so he doesn't go hunting on the population. Now, I can't believe this, Tina said, trying to process this info. If you knew, Stan angrily asked, then why did you let us take this shortcut? Alex doesn't leave the woods. He knows better. Now, if someone enters them, that is a whole nother situation. Which, by the way, I had solved before you two showed up. So what, you guys just go drive down there once a month and call it good? No, weekly. We deliver him meat from our farm. It keeps him held over, so he isn't tempted to hunt. Believe it or not, we have a bigger issue, Stan, Daniel said, looking down at his arm. Stan looked down and then looked back up, terrorized. No, not Daniel. This can't be happening. Stan had scratches, the same as Alex. It's ironic, Daniel said, as he pulled out another smoky and sparked it. This was originally meant for you anyways, and through sneered dumb luck, it found its way back to you. Guess that's why they call it a curse, huh? Daniel, you gotta do something. We can't let Stan morph into another wolfman, pleaded Tina. Werewolves, Daniel's voice boomed as he corrected her. There's nothing I can do, nothing we can do, he said as he took another drag. We've tried multiple ways to stop it, to remove it, or cure it. The only thing we've achieved is learning it's spread through scratches and bites. Stan's been scratched. So what? Alex walks free and Stan's the new werewolf guy? Nope, Daniel said coldly. My uncle had stage 4 cancer and attempted to let Alex scratch him in hopes the curse would transfer over to him, like it did from Stan's great-grandfather. No such luck. He turned. And we agreed if he turned, it would end his suffering. There's a secret Stan's grandfather took to the grave with him on how to set the host free. All we could do now is contain it. Go home, Tina. Forget what you saw here. Stan's transferring to an all-male boarder school immediately due to his family crisis. That is what you will tell anyone who may ask, as they know we were all friends. What about you? Tina asked, in a sad, shaky voice. I am a burnout, proclaimed Daniel. It's half expected I'd drop out, so might as well play the stereotype, said Daniel as he let out a large cloud of smoke followed by a cough. Will I see you again? Tina asked, worried, as she was losing both of her friends in one foul swoop. Well, it may not be the best idea, but I'll stay in contact when I'm not in full beast form. You really think Stan can't be trusted? Tina questioned angrily. It's not up to Stan anymore. He may want to behave, but the animal instinct is a lot stronger than you would think. It's going to take some time to get him grounded to these woods, and only these woods. Tina left Daniel to clean up the mess that unfolded that night. She plans to leave the small town once she graduates, but every now and again, when the moon is full, Tina happens to catch the sight of two glowing amber eyes across the street in the wooded area, along with a solo howl now and again. She stays in due to the fear of becoming like Stan, trapped in the life as a werewolf. Well, I hope that you guys enjoyed the story tonight. The tale was written by none other than my buddy Bumps in the Night. Check out his channel. His information will be in the description box down below. Now, it's time for a drink.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.